Let's pray together. You are a good, good Father. And it is a joy to be able to sing about that fact and that that is who you are and the fact that you love us for who we are. Heavenly Father, as we come into this place this morning, it would be my prayer, it has been my prayer during the course of these last days this week, that you would speak into each one of our lives, that you would use your holy word to guide us as Christ followers, that it wouldn't just be something that we pick up and read and put back down, but it would be something that we allow to consume us. So Father God, as we go to your word this morning, may you allow it to do just that. May you allow it to challenge us and to change us this morning. That we would make decisions in our lives based off the principles of your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So next week and the week after that, and I'm giving you a heads up on this because I really think it's important, and I would encourage you to try to do everything you can to be here next week and the week after. We're going to be talking about something that has come up in our culture over the course of the last couple years. It's the whole cancel culture mentality of things. And I want to talk a little bit next week, the week after, about this cancel culture and how that should play into our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Because I think that there is a way that that needs to fall into our lives as followers of Christ. As we set an example of how we live a life according to God's word, how does that enter into relationship with the whole cancel culture mentality that there is a part of our society? So I encourage you to be here next week, the week after. I was going to start it this week, but I just didn't feel like I was quite ready. So next week we're starting that. Today, I want to look at something that I think is really vitally important to us if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have a relationship with him, because I want to talk to us this morning a little bit about how do we grow in our walk with Jesus Christ on the personal level. How do you make decisions? How do I make decisions in my life to make sure that I am going to be growing in my walk with Jesus? So much in life, as we go through life, there are opportunities for us to do things to better ourselves, and we take those opportunities to do those things. We do things in our lives. We educate ourselves so that we can be better at what we do in our careers. We study things so we can be better parents. We do things to constantly better ourselves, to make life better for us. And that's good. Those are good things that we're doing because as we better ourselves, we're going to better the worlds that we're a part of. We're going to better our families. We're going to better our schools, our communities, all those things. That's all good stuff. But I'm going to suggest this morning the greatest thing, and you know what it is, the greatest thing of a most significant importance is your spiritual growth above all those other things. Spiritual growth. We invest in bettering ourselves. I was just talking with Spencer before church, and this is kind of a goofy story, but I was thinking after I talked to him, I thought that's so much what we're talking about this morning is probably 4 years ago now, I decided to have LASIK eye surgery done, and it was something to better myself. It allowed me a little bit more freedom and firefighting and different things where I didn't have to worry about glasses and all that kind of stuff. So we do these things, and we invest financially in that situation, and we invest in taking on a little bit of pain in that situation in order to do better, to better ourselves. As you think about athletes, right, they're constantly doing things to improve themselves. They set disciplines in place that will allow them to be better tomorrow than they are today. And they're intentional about that. And they say no to certain things in order to be able to better themselves for tomorrow. They don't eat certain things. They go to bed at the right time when they have a game the next morning. They're not up all night. They make these disciplined decisions. They say no to certain things in order to better themselves. at being athletes. So this morning, we take that same concept, that same principle. And as believers in Christ, we can also train ourselves to be stronger in our spiritual game, in our walks with Jesus. We can also use discipline, like the athlete does, to better ourselves as followers of Christ. One definition I found of spiritual discipline, which I really liked, I'm putting it on the screen just so that for those of you that are note takers and that, you'll have a few minutes to write it down. It's a little bit lengthy, but I wanted you guys to be able to see it because I know sometimes stuff sinks in better when we hear it, see it, all that kind of stuff, right? A spiritual discipline is the regular or full-time performance of actions and activities undertaken for the purpose of inducing spiritual experiences and cultivating spiritual development. What am I doing in my life is the question that comes out of this. What am I doing in my life to cultivate spiritual development? Some spiritual disciplines, I think, are personal. They're inward exercises that we practice alone. And I'm going to encourage you in regards to your spiritual life in the year ahead, right? We're at the beginning of a new year. In the year ahead, be a little self-centered. Make decisions in your life that are going to allow you to grow spiritually. Some are kind of inward-focused things. Others require in interpersonal relationships and gathering as a community. They talked about small groups today. Those are good things too. We can help each other grow in our lives. But this morning, really what I'm talking about is that personal piece. Think about yourself this morning. Throughout time, there's been many philosophers and theologians and writers that have proposed all kinds of different practices that we might consider as spiritual disciplines. Things like prayer and fasting, living simply, fellowship, stewardship, obedience, study, contemplation, self-examination. And that list just goes on and on and on. If you want a much greater list, go to Google, right? And Google spiritual disciplines, and you're going to end up with all kinds of ideas. Or ask a friend that's a follower of Jesus what they do in order to grow in their walk with Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, something that somebody shares with you will be something that you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give that a try in my own life. Spiritual disciplines are practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers. They are habits of devotion. Some of them are habits of Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. Some of them have been practiced by Jesus Christ himself as you look through the Gospels. Spiritual disciplines are habits and practices and experiences that are designed to develop and grow and strengthen certain qualities of our lives, to build the muscle of one's character and expand the depths of our inner life. This is something that each of us, I really feel we should be working on this on a daily basis. This morning I'm going to take just a little bit of time to mention just a few possible spiritual disciplines that you might consider implementing into your life. And maybe some of these are already a part of your life, and if that's so, that's fantastic. Maybe you change how you do it a little bit, tweak it a little bit, get out of the normal rut that you're in with it. Or maybe you add something that we don't talk about today as a new spiritual discipline as you go into this new year. However you choose to do it. But these are just a few to get our minds thinking in the idea of self-care spiritually in our lives. So the first one is real simple. Make personal time with God a priority. It's real simple to say it. It's real simple to think about doing it. It's not always real simple to actually do, if we're being honest. Many of you are parents, and you have the responsibilities of children, and you have the joys of transporting children, and you have all the extra stuff that comes along with having family, and it can become really hard to make personal time with God a priority. I've been there. I get that. It gets a little bit easier for you, though, as your kids get their licenses and they start heading out on their own. But still, we need to figure out, doesn't matter what point of life we're in, whether we're just crazy busy at work or crazy busy with our grandkids or our own children, whatever it is, we got to figure out a way in life to make sure that we're making personal time with God a priority in our lives. I think if I were able to perform a fact check this morning of our congregation and see who is at least spending, 5 days a week maybe opening this book besides on a Sunday morning, I don't think our fact check meter would go real high, is just statistically. And it's nothing against any one of us. It's just the reality of statistics say that we're not doing that well as believers in Christ. So though this, in principle and theory, is an easy one, it's difficult for us actually to do. Statistically, it says that we don't do well with this one. We have to make time for God. To read, to pray, to think upon, to meditate on God's word each day, giving him first place in our lives. And if you don't do this on a regular basis, let me just encourage you, don't feel guilty about that. You're one of like 90% of America, so including Christians. So don't feel guilty about that, but just say, you know what? I'm going to try it moving forward. I'm going to wake up 5 minutes earlier, and I'm going to just spend 5 minutes reading a piece of passage. Or I'll stay awake 10 minutes later. Or however it works for you. Just work it into your schedule. I'll watch one less sitcom or one less video on social media. Or I won't do social media for a few minutes when I get home from work. Matthew 6, verse 33 tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." To seek first the kingdom of God, the only way we can do that is to be in God's word so that we can understand his kingdom. His kingdom, his ways, are so different than what our human nature is. That's why this is so vital for us as believers. It's because when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we learn about God's plan for our lives, when we open the pages and actually read through scripture and spend some time in it, we learn things that we're doing that might not actually be helpful for our spiritual growth with Jesus. So that's the first one. The second one is fortify your faith and diminish your doubts. Fortify your faith and diminish your doubts. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 says this, "And Jesus answered them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen.'" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt," let's fortify our faith and let's diminish our doubt as believers. I think sadly, some people nurture negative thoughts and doubts. Again, it's part of the way we're wired as humans for some of us. This causes discouragement and failure to take place in our lives. We must discipline our thinking, refusing to allow doubt to linger too long. We drive away doubts by replacing them with thoughts of faith and God's faithfulness. At our last church board meeting, we open each church board meeting by somebody on the church board sharing from the Word and having prayer together. And Stacy was sharing with us. And I couldn't tell you the exact passage she shared from. I didn't take the time to look it up. But here's what the principle shared was. What was in Old Testament times, people would take stones and use them as memorials to God's faithfulness. When God did something, the stone represented what God had done. And it was kind of funny that Stacy shared that at our last church board meeting, because two weeks earlier, my mother was here and shared that exact same thing with us. And literally, I have on my dresser at home a stone that has written on it, "Remember July 18th, 2022. And that's a whole other story. We're not getting into that, but God worked a miracle in my life. We drive away doubts by replacing them with thoughts of faith, by remembering what God has done in the past. Just this morning, I was talking to somebody before service started, and they were sharing with me that they were having a hard time this week, and they were thinking through the Old Testament. I didn't even think about it this way. I was just thinking about, like, remembering things in my own life, right? But they were thinking, I was thinking through Scripture and where God was faithful in other people's lives in Scripture, and it brought me peace. It helped me to remember that God is faithful and that God can overcome the situation that I'm facing today. We drive away doubts by replacing them with thoughts of faith and God's faithfulness. The first biblical reference to memorial stones comes in Genesis chapter 28, and it's verses like 10 to 22. And this is when Jacob set a pillar in Bethel to commemorate a powerful vision of God that he experienced while sleeping there. Go get a stone this afternoon. Write on it. Take a stone from our parking lot. We got all kinds of them out there. Nice big white ones out there. And the trustees will love me for this. Go ahead. Take stones for all of your memories. And we'll just have the trustees refill it with another truckload of stones if we need them. Whatever it is that you can do to remember God's faithfulness in the past, do it. Because it helps bed our doubts. Maybe you're not going to steal one of our stones on the way out the door, and that's okay if you do. I gave you permission. It's not stealing it. But if that's not for you, then maybe it's just simply memorizing a really simple short verse, right, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Don't let doubt master you and your thoughts. Let Jesus master them instead. Thirdly, we need to control our desires. Here's another hard one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Next 2 weeks, as we talk about cancel culture a little bit, we're going to be talking about this idea and this principle expanded a little bit too. But for this morning, just a couple small thoughts on this in regards to your own personal spiritual growth. Make it a discipline to try to control your desires, right? The reason why we must discipline our desires, we live in a materialistic society. The souls of millions have been captured by affluent living. People pursue selfish, sensual, and sinful goals. Bottom line, they pursue the things of the word to gratify themselves, the world, to gratify themselves. The enemy himself will use those things of the world to draw us away from staying close to God. And will use these things to entice us and to cause us to fall away from God. So to fend off these things, we need to learn to discipline our desires. As believers, we must continually discipline ourselves to focus our on eternal realities, on the things above, instead of the temporal realities of this earth. We get so caught up and so wound up in what's going on the earth, and especially in the United States, as that's where we live, right? The last couple years certainly is evidence of that. We get so worked up about everything that's happening in my neighborhood or my community or my state or my country. What if we, God forbid, what if we don't focus on the things of this earth so much? And we set our minds on the things above. What desires in your normal daily life take your focus and attention off of Jesus and his kingdom and place your attention on something else? What is it for you? Man, I can sure get caught up in watching the news or reading through the news. I've told you that millions of times. I'm a news junkie, right? I can get all caught up into the happenings of politics or whatever it might be that's running all the headlines of the different news organizations. And I get caught up in the things of this earth. My time would probably be better spent a lot of that time. I just don't think we should be unaware of what's going on in our world that we live in and we're a part of. But probably better use of some of my time be thinking about things above. So how can you reduce or eliminate those things of earth, the temporal things? And then the last one I want to talk about this morning is make service a discipline in your life. Make service a discipline in your life. Let's start here. We have a duty as believers in Jesus Christ. As Christians, there is a duty to serve each other and to serve others. Let's just get that out there. One of Jesus' apostles, Peter, he said, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So because God has given you gifts, you have a duty to use that gift, to be a good steward of the gift that God has given to you. Just think about it. It's in our service to one another that all will see God's grace in our actions as we demonstrate our faith. Because a lack of discipline causes many to waste time or spend it just selfishly. They neglect church attendance and fail to accomplish God's work. They fail to live like Jesus lived. We must be faithful to God, allowing and making time for his work. I bet you, if I could take a poll this morning and ask the simple question of, should our faith be, Should Jesus in my life be the number one priority of my life? I bet you the numbers would be off the chart for yes in regards to the answer for that as we sit in here this morning. I think that's all where our hearts are, where our mind is. We know this. But do we really make time for his work? Even though that's the number one priority in many of our lives, do we really, if we looked at our calendar, would it prove that that's the number one priority in our lives? We must witness to the lost and seek to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways we do that is through how we treat each other, how we serve one another, how we serve our communities, the world that we're in. We can't waste what's been given to us. God's given us gifts and abilities and talents. Don't put that to waste. He's given us these things to use for the growing and the strengthening of his kingdom. There's a purpose why he gave them to us, not simply for my own benefit or your own benefit. We need to discipline ourselves to use our God-given talents and abilities and gifts to serve others as they were intended to be used. You were gifted to help grow the kingdom of God. Take some time in the next days and think through your natural gifting, what it is that you do well. And think, how can I use that to serve my God? How can I use that to aim towards my number one priority in life? Of growing myself spiritually, but also bringing other people into the kingdom of God, because I believe that's an important thing. People's eternity, their souls depend on it. We better think that's an important thing. So how can I use the talents and the abilities and the gifts that God has given to me? That's the question you should be thinking about. But don't just think about it. You knew I was going to say that. Do it. When you figured it out, do it. Take the step. Do it. Come to me and say, hey, I want to help run sound, and we will get you on the schedule because we need people to run sound. Or I want to help teach Sunday school, right? We'll get you on the schedule. We will get you a part of being in that. Or I want to be on the worship team. You name it. We will work with you, and we will prepare you, and we will get you to a place where you can use that God-given talent, gift, or ability. And sometimes you don't use it in the church walls, and that's great. There are wonderful places to use those God-given talents and abilities right here in our local community, all kinds of wonderful organizations and charities that you can be a part of, and you can bless people. You can bless people for God through other organizations, and that's wonderful too. We will never be perfect on this side of eternity. But remember, God is at work spiritually, transforming us, transforming you, transforming me. We should not be the same at the end of this year as we were at the beginning of this year spiritually. Paul addresses this with the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He's talking about being transformed by Christ. We are in this process of being transformed. We're going to be in this process our whole lives. Here's another thing they're going to put on the screen for you, because I think it's important that we remember this. Jesus was the only perfect person ever to live. and he still practiced spiritual disciplines. So if you're looking for a reason to practice them, if you need to be compelled to do so, if Jesus thought spiritual disciplines were critical for himself, then they're even more important for you and for me. Jesus was the perfect person that walked the earth. He practiced spiritual disciplines. I heard it on, I don't know what Christian radio station it was I was listening to, but I've heard it a couple different times over the last few weeks where they were talking about when Jesus was tempted and how he used scripture to fight off temptation or to resist temptation, to rebuke temptation, right? And the whole thought behind the presentation on the radio was the idea that when we're in the Word, we know scripture and we can use it to rebuke temptation in our lives. We need to have spiritual disciplines in our lives that put us in the Word. Like we talked about that. That was number one, right? Spending time with God. Jesus prayed. You see it all through the four Gospels. He's either praying with people or he's going off by himself and praying somewhere. It's easy for us to think that our responsibility as children of God is to avoid bad behavior, to avoid doing something Scripture says we shouldn't do. We're not simply called to just avoid bad behavior. We're called to pursue godly behavior. What are you doing to pursue godly behavior in your life? Like athletes that train themselves to exceed their physical limits, their physical abilities today, they want to be better tomorrow. Spiritual exercises and discipline enable us to be different tomorrow than we are today when we implement them. As we invest our energy into developing spiritual disciplines, we, in essence, are partnering with God in our growth and our transformation. That's what I'm inviting you to do today. Partner with God in growing. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so blessed to have a God that wants to partner with us, that cares so deeply about us, that he wants his children to grow, to become better representations of Jesus. Help us in the busyness of this life to be selfish enough in our spiritual lives to set time aside to grow. Whether it be one of these four things we talked about this morning or whether it be something completely different, whatever you choose to use in the life of each one in here, I would pray that you would bless them, grow them, strengthen them. Allow them greater understanding of their purpose in this life. Allow each one of us, Lord God, to fall deeper and deeper in love with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.